Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship this morning on this, the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany, which is our last Sunday in the Epiphany season. Today we're going to have a shortened service because we had our AGM, but it will still be a blessed gathering together. So let's begin with a prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you to ask your blessing upon our worship this morning. We thank you and praise you for this Epiphany journey that we have been able to share. We pray, Lord, for your leading and guiding upon us on, in this church service this morning, that you will lift our hearts and bless us, and that you would shine your character, your heart into our hearts, so that we may indeed be your Epiphany people. So bless us, Lord, in your name, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to just stand to sing our first song this morning, Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glory. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name.
My heart will choose to say, Lord, bless it. scripture this morning comes from the Old Testament. It's Genesis chapter 45, verses 3 through 11, and then verse 15. It's on page 47 in the Bible. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph said. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him." Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
To sing our next song, "The King of Kings."
Spirit in the flesh.
I'd like to share with you a message based on the psalm for today, which is Psalm 37, verses 1 to 11. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we come before you this morning to give you praise and glory for being our Epiphany King. We thank you, Lord, that your glory shines over all this universe. And we pray, O God, that as we meditate on this word this morning, you would shine your glory into our hearts and lives and give us peace and teach us how to live in peace by the power of your Holy Spirit. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. This psalm before us this morning, Psalm 37, is a psalm of King David. King David described in Acts 13:22 by God as being a man after my own heart. This psalm comes from David's heart as he is an old man. In Psalm 37, verse 25, David says, "I was young and now I am old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." David had walked with the Lord a long time when he wrote the words of this psalm. We often say experience is the best teacher, and David certainly had a lot of experience by the time he wrote the words of this psalm. He had experienced both the highest of highs and the lowest of lows that life can bring. In this psalm, he has a lot of wisdom to share. If you could read this psalm in the original Hebrew, you would see that it is an acrostic. Each verse begins with a word that begins the next letter of the alphabet. So in English, it would be A, B, C, D. In Hebrew, it's Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Dalet. In this psalm, there's quite a bit of repetition. Because it's more like its structure is more like a collection of proverbs than the usual poem-like structure we see in the psalm. What we have here is a typical teacher of wisdom teaching his young pupils a collection of wisdom that can easily be remembered by an acrostic. From what David writes in the first 11 verses of this psalm, I want to lift out for you this morning the wisdom that it contains as we look at the theme, living in peace in turbulent times. And we are certainly living in turbulent times. And the greatest contributor to this turbulence has been the coronavirus. In Australia, the response to the coronavirus has been social distancing, contact tracing, masks wearing, sanitizing, travel bans, and lockdowns. And all of these have come with an inconvenience and a price. As a result, there has been much disruption on many levels in society. There's been family disruption, mental health disruption, education disruption, healthcare disruption, supply chain disruption, and economic disruption. These disruptions have affected people's lives deeply and made life feel that we're on a plane that keeps hitting turbulence. And just as when you're flying in a plane and you never know when the next patch of turbulence will strike, so it is that we never know when the next variant of COVID-19 will arise, when the next outbreak will happen somewhere, or when the next government restriction will occur. This makes life unsteady and uneasy. There are many other things that cause turbulence in life. Some of those things affect some people. Some of those things affect all people. We all live with some degree of turbulence in our lives to varying degrees at various times. Some of the turbulence we face in life is a result of being Christian. And for us here at HTK, upholding a traditional evangelical expression of the Christian faith. For David, the turbulence he was dealing with in our text, it was the age-old question for the people of God, why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? This problem is addressed in Psalms 49 and 73. It's also a prominent theme in the book of Job. Well, it's also a problem, and it causes problems and turbulence in our lives from time to time. Now, while David specifically addresses this problem in Psalm 37, his answers as to how to live in peace in turbulent times are applicable not only for living with the turbulence of why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer, but also all the other turbulences that we find ourselves in life. In order to deal with living in peace in turbulent times, I'm not going to deal so much with what we are not to do, but rather with what we are able to do to live in peace in turbulent times. Now, the foundation to be able to live in peace in turbulent times above everything is turning your focus away from the turbulences and putting them on God. You will never make the first step on the road to peace and the journey of life if you remain focused on the turbulence and do not give God first place. You need to give God your attention. You need to remember what happened when Peter walked on the water on the Sea of Galilee, when he took his attention, his focus away from Jesus, he sank. So if it is that we are to live in peace in turbulent times, the first thing we are to do is control your walk. From verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. We must trust in God despite what we see happening in the world around us and what it might be telling us about reality. As Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight. We trust in the fact that when everything might be going wrong for us and for our world, God is still working out his eternal plans and purposes in and through the turbulence of life. We not only trust in the Lord and do good, we trust that God is good. A worried, frustrated Christian lacks confidence in God. God knows the score. He's keeping an accurate account that can be trusted. So it's not life is not fair and God doesn't care, but rather trust in God's power and goodness and his willingness to help. To do good is a command from God to live a holy life, a life that arises from him setting us aside as his people, because that's what it is to be holy. It means that God has set us aside so that when the turbulence of life besets us, we respond out of that holiness, out of what God has done for us, and not let that turbulence buffet us around. So control your walk. The second thing we will do is condition your will. David says in verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When we strike turbulence in life, it is easy to become depressed and downhearted. It's easy to lose your joy and your hope. We can look for other things to focus on to get ourselves back on an even keel. And when David says delight in the Lord, he means take exquisite delight in him. Get your focus back on him. When David says he will give you the desires of your heart, this is not a health and wealth gospel, meaning that if you delight in the Lord, he will give you whatever material possession you want, a big house, a new car, or whatever. God does promise to take care of us materially. But what David means is that as we desire the Lord, he will change us and the desires of our hearts to be like his. And when our hearts are changed to be like his, those desires that lead us into turbulence will not strike us so often. So as your heart is filled with the joy of the Lord in delighting in him, you will find the fulfillment of your deepest desires of your life met. So condition your will. The third thing we will do to live in peace in turbulent times is to commit your way. David says in verses 5 and 6, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Commit your way to the Lord literally means to roll your way over to the Lord. Imagine the turbulences of your life as being one of those great big round bales of hay, and you just roll it over onto the Lord. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, not the yoke of your burdens, your turbulences, but his yoke, which he says is easy and light. Give your turbulence to him. Trust in him, and he will do this. Cast your cares, your plans, your health worries, your desires, all onto the Lord. Place it in his hands by believing prayer that all things work together for the good of those who love him. In doing this, we are placing our trust in him. And this doesn't mean that we're going to fly out of the turbulence quickly. God is never hurried by our worry. He doesn't panic and want to get us out of the turbulence straight away when we strike it. What he's looking for in the midst of this turbulence is faith, obedience, and yieldedness to him. As we fly with him by faith, he will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and your justice like the noonday sun. In other words, we will shine with his character. Martin Luther, on commenting on this thought, says that when we come to Christ, we are married to him by faith. Like a bride, we give him all we have, our sin. And like a bridegroom, he gives us everything he has, which is all his righteousness. And as we grow in faith and trust, that righteousness will shine brighter and brighter within us. So commit your way. The fourth thing we are to do is consecrate your weight. David says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. The Hebrew word for be still here can also be translated as to rest. To rest means to be silent. Now, this is not easy, but it is the reward for a victory which a person has gained in the struggle for their own soul against the assertive individual self. It is to live in a state of peace, in a state of resistance to self, where the inner person is just screaming to get out and to take over. Our duty during turbulent times is to be patient and be silent and wait for God to work out his purposes in our lives. Those who can be still before the Lord do not fret when wicked men succeed in their evil schemes. To do so is to take on turbulence that we don't need in our lives. The person who has learned to conquer their own self by waiting faithfully for God and by being still before him cannot be harmed in any way, not even by the prosperity of his adversaries who may hatch plots against him. This is not easy, but it was the kind of attitude modeled by Jesus when he was abused and mocked and crucified and endured his afflictions, his turbulences in silence, trusting in God. As Isaiah prophesies in chapter 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So regardless of the turbulence that you are flying through, learn not to whine, but to bear it for the glory of God, waiting patiently for him to work out his will for your life. So consecrate your way. And the fifth and final thing to do to live in peace in turbulent times is to conquer your anger. When we go through turbulent times, it's easy to get bitter and angry with God, the church, our Christian friends, and so on. When the problems of life mount up against us and we see the ungodly living a relative life of ease, as we're walking through that deep valley of the shadow, there is more than a tendency for us to become angry with God. In fact, if that anger of God towards God is strong enough, we can become rebels against the Lord and his will and ways for us. The righteous can become like the wicked. Instead of raging against our circumstances and raging against others and raging against God, David says, "The meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." The meek, not the angry, will have great peace. Not a little peace, but great peace. It will not be the wicked who have great peace. It will be the meek, the poor, the humble, who will end up with the land and receive its bounty. And it comes to us, however, not because of the taking, but rather because of the Lord giving. The kingdom of God is our inheritance as the people of God. We receive his kingdom because of his decree, his sovereign inheritance to us. So conquer your anger. In his commentary on the Psalms, Arthur Weiser says about Psalm 37, "The psalm is not concerned with the vindication of God. Rather, it is the vindication of the practice of religion in man's everyday life. And that vindication takes the form of giving pastoral counsel of a didactic nature." So this morning you have received five steps from this psalm as to how to live in peace in turbulent times. Control your walk, condition your will, commit your way, consecrate your weight, and conquer your anger. You see, we can't control when the turbulence in life will come, how violent it will be, or how long it will last for. But we can control how we respond to what happens to that turbulence. God is calling us to take control of ourselves as we yield to Him, not to act like the ungodly, but like the godly when turbulence strikes. And so by following these proverbs of wisdom from Psalm 37, verses 1 to 11, that David gives us, we will certainly live in peace in turbulent times. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for these proverbs of wisdom from David to us to help us to be able to live our lives in peace in turbulent times. Lord, give us your peace, give us your wisdom, and by your Spirit, enable us to live out this word so that we might have confidence and blessing in this time because of you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So now ask Father Dave to come forward, and he's going to lead us in the prayers this morning.
Well, it's good to be back and to be able to share some time with you. I am better. And as Frank used to say, every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better.
Very glad.
Thank you, Steve. And the prayers today, we have some prayers of remembrance for two of our people who passed on to their reward, Tim and Tony. And at that particular time, I will remember their name and their families. Let us pray for the preservation of the earth. We give you thanks for the beauty and the abundance of the earth. Give us and all people grace to live in harmony with your creation, wisdom and generosity in our use of the bounty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for peace and shared prosperity. And as Steve mentioned in his sermon, the peace of the Lord needs to be with us in everything and every part of our day. We give you thanks for the leaders who serve the common good, especially at this time we remember the leaders of the nations as they endeavour to counsel those who would want war and those who would want to overcome other people. So we give for those leaders, give them wisdom to those who have that responsibility and authority in every land, that we may share with justice the resources of the world and work together in trust. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Remember to pray for the leaders of our nation. Remember the Governor General, the Prime Minister, the Leader of the Opposition. We pray for them at this time as they are moving towards an election. We pray for great wisdom amongst them all. We give thanks for this land and the diversities of its peoples. Grant that we may show honour one another, that all may be enriched by our common heritage and free from despair, poverty and exclusion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the church and its mission. We remember today our Archbishop Philip, our Pastor Steve, and those who lead our church here. We pray for them as they seek to navigate the church through these difficult times. We give thanks for the news of salvation for all people. Strengthen us for our work in the world. Empower your church to proclaim the gospel in service, word and sacrament. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love to your glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves and our community. We give thanks for the fellowship of this community at HTK, in which we live and work. We pray as we commend to your keeping, Lord, ourselves and each other, our families, and those with whom we work and learn, our labours and our friends. Enable us by your Spirit to live and work and love for you and for one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks to God, to the God who gives, that you are the God who brings mercy and wholeness, comfort and heal, and we pray for all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other trouble. Give to those who care for them wisdom and patience and gentleness to us all, and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember those who have departed in recent days from this life. We remember Tony Ham. We remember his wife, Val. We remember Tim, Tub and Edith and their granddaughters, India and Brianna. And we pray for them today, Lord, as they mourn the loss of a loved one. We give you thanks for your servants in every age. Grant that we, with Tim and Tony and all your saints, may be brought to a joyful resurrection and the fulfillment of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as our fathers taught us to pray, we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who live in time, and lead us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Stand and join with me as we say together the grace to farewell our online viewers. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Safely here and great.
time.